שבת רק ידוי מסור.
Started at the Turaway Northwest London, Wednesday, 8th December, 4th Teves, Rabbi Chaim Gross, Hilchus Yichud in an Elevator and Beyond. This week's Torah has been sponsored by Vaidichka Lichvot Simchas Anasuin of Mordechai Rand and Mindy Roth, Yerot San Shivnu Bias Nemon Bisrael, the Shem and the Sidon.
Familiar friends and faces from almost 2 years of not being here. Feels like rolling back the years to different times. So it's an elevating experience to be here. And when I spoke to Reb Dudi, he asked to maybe speak about something elevating as well. So I don't know if this is exactly what I meant. So I thought we'd speak about an elevator. And Yichud in an elevator. Now this is actually quite a common question with different manifestations. Let's just at the beginning speak about different areas or places where you might find this question. So in a work setting, in an office building, going into an elevator,
bank.
I still call it a lift, with a man going into the elevator with one woman, is such a thing. Okay, in a residential setting, often, you know, in where I come from in the Middle East, lots of people live in flats, yeah? And
apartments,
good. They're dropping one's kid off in the garden in the morning, but after dropping one's kid off in the morning, getting into the elevator, there's actually almost a day-to-day question. Is that okay to go to an elevator with someone who's a young kid whose mother dropped their kid off to the kindergarten? And even like in a tourist setting, the lift in the Empire State Building, the elevator in the Empire State Building doesn't go all the way up, it goes 80 flights. That's a serious elevation. There's 80 flights. You buy a nice trip to America in the old days of tourism, and you go to the Empire State Building, it's quiet times, you're walking to the 80-story lift. The only person who's going to walk in is a lady. Is such a thing acceptable or not? So there's many, many different settings where this question comes up. Why not us to work it out together? Now, I spent a few months learning Yichud not so long ago, and it could be that this stuff is all familiar to you. It was fairly new to me. So if the worst comes to the worst, you'll forgive me for a little chazara. It's a deal? Okay. So let's start the limit in the following way. One man going into a secluded place with one woman basically has the ingredients, on the one hand, of what we'd say would be an Issur D'oraisa, according to most poskim. What do I mean by that? So the Mishnah in Kedushin says, Lo yisyached adam shtei noshim. One man is not allowed to be misyached with two ladies. And the Gemara afterwards brings him a call. It says, Remez liyichud min hatera minayin. Where do we see a remez to yichud? The Gemara actually brings a pasuk from Parshas Re'eh. It's a little bit difficult, which is not our topic now. So the Rishonim and Acharonim basically try to explain how the Gemara saw its makor for Yichud in a pasuk, which is actually speaking about Hasata, leading someone astray to Avodah Zarah. But the Gemara understands as a remez min haTorah for Yichud to a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. Now, the Rambam says that the Issa Yichud, in his words, is Mipi HaKabbalah. And there's a very lot of politics and controversy around what the Rambam means when he says Mipi HaKabbalah. Does that mean it's a Darabanan? Does it mean it's a Daraisa? This is just basic background. The Vilna Gaon understood in the Rambam that Yichud is only Darabanan, but the Beis Yosef is Mashallah. Even according to the Rambam, he says Mipi HaKabbalah, it's actually Daraisa. From the Kesef Mishnah elsewhere, is mashmah that maybe the Rambam holds it's halach emotion of Sinai, which is also deraisa, that he used the lashon of Mipiyah Kabbalah because the makor that the Gemara brings, the source Gemara brings, is not so mefurash. That's on the one hand the Rambam shita, but others clearly hold that Yichud is deraisa, and at least Yichud is deraisa, and the majority of poskim hold that Yichud is indeed deraisa. So on the one hand, it looks like going into the elevator with one man and one woman has the basic ingredients for an Issa Yichud D'oraisa. At this stage, I'll come to you in just 1 second, which is put in an important caveat, which is the Chochmas Adam says something which again seems to be Mukubal, that even though Yichud one-on-one is D'oraisa, once you're moving to one and two, classically speaking, one man and two women, that Yichud is only D'rabbanan. Okay? That can sometimes make Nafkaminas. Okay, so this is, as I said,
two men and one woman?
Two men and one woman, I very carefully avoided. Because two men and one woman comes to a major divide between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. The Gemara says that one woman and two men is mutter. The Gemara, however, qualifies that and says that's only true if the men are kasherim, they're good, upstanding men. But if they are prutzim, then you have no such heter. And on that, the Rambam, on the one hand, and Kima, all the other Rishonim, on the other hand, had a machlokes, who are the kasherim that the Gemara speaks about. The Rambam holds these kasherim don't really exist. And therefore, the basic Sephardi halakha, which is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, is that one woman and two men, any two men, even the finest two men that you know, are asur b'yichud. Whereas according to Ashkenazim, don't pass that as Rambam, and hold that as long as a person is a normal, decent chap, then you still have the heter of one woman and two men. That's a whole different discussion for the next time I come back about what's considered a decent chap.
Is there a limited amount of time that you have to do the table?
That's exactly what we're going to... Good, right. So that's exactly what we're going to discuss today. That's going to be the source where we can start making a plan over here. Just to add, those Rishonim who hold that Yichud is deraisa have a Mefurisha Gemara, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Sanhedrin, says both times that it's discussing which different stages Yichud became Asa, which Beisdin was Goyzer and Yichud. And at a certain stage, the Gemara seems to imply that Issa Yichud was only a Gezerah of a Beisdin, to which the Gemara is Matame, asked him, wonders, what do you mean? Yichud the Bas Yisrael, Daraisahi. The Gemara says that in two different places, which seems to indicate very clearly that Stama the Gemara, what do you mean that Yichud is only a Gezerah from a Beisdin? Yichud the Bas Yisrael is Daraisa. Afterwards, the Gemara answers, that's true. Yichud is Daraisa, but when it comes to a Pnuya and a Goya, there was subsequent Gezerah to the Beisdin made. But a classic case of, for example, an Ashes Ish, or a lady who's asked of the Karas, and a Jewish man, the standard of the Gemara seems to apply that it's deraisa, which of course lends weight to understanding the Rambam. Even though the Rambam says it's Bepiyah Kabbalah, he doesn't mean it's a standard Darabanan. He means it's more than that. Yeah.
So Yichud deraisa is only with a Jewish woman?
Correct.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Good, so we did learn something new today. Excellent. Now, okay, so that's...
Is it a non-Jewish woman?
Sorry?
A non-Jewish woman with a Darabanan?
Correct. Correct.
Sorry.
What?
Asa
Mutter.
Asa Midaraban. Asa.
Yeah.
So when she gets in the lift, you've got to ask her what religion
is. It's Asa.
Yes, Asa Midaraban. Mr. Bode is making a good point.
Huh?
Mr. Bode is making a good point. It's Asa Midaraban. Yes, I don't want to leave here with any blood on my hands. Yeah? It's still Asa. It's just Asa Midaraban. Plus, like, usually where I come from, you can usually tell. Like, well, you can usually tell without asking anyway. Say that. Enough giving the Kampara and Yom Kippur.
Okay.
Fine. Okay, on we move. Now, so that's on the one hand, it sounds like going to the elevator has the basic ingredients for an Issa Yichud Daraisa, with the robe hapoiskin. On the other hand, the Lashon of the Rambam himself is that the reason why Yichud is Asa is Shemiyavoi Legalos Ereva. That is the nature of the essence of Issa Yichud, Shadavazeh Goyrim Legalis Ereva. Meaning, being in isolation carries with it a risk of a serious Gilui Ereva, serious Issa. So maybe you'd say that in the situation over here, which is really what we've got to discuss, is going into an elevator, a man and a woman, going to lead to a situation of Davazeh Goyrim Legalis Ereva. Okay, that's really what we need to open up and discuss. Okay, so where did the poskim begin in discussing the elevator question? Which is obviously a relatively recent question, yeah? When the Rishonim were around, as far as I know, there were no elevators whatsoever. There was elevation, but no elevators. So as follows, the story really starts, there's a Mishnah right at the beginning of Sota, which says that after the kinui that a husband would give to the wife that he suspects, she's Asa the Geda Sota if she's Nichnas the Sota into a secluded place, Kadei Shir Tuma, which it's difficult to give an exact translation or definition of what it means. So the amount of time it takes for her to be Nitma. Now, the reason why I say that it's difficult to give an exact definition is not because I'm struggling for the English. It's because the Gemara in Sota Dabadam and Aleph gives, amongst the Tanaim, nine different opinions about what it means, a tarrying, waiting, Kedei Sheir Tumah. Yeah, there's 9 different opinions off by the Tanan as to what that means. Rabbi Akiva, we'll just go straight there. Rabbi Akiva says that the Kedei Sheir Tumah is the amount of time it takes Litzlot Tzlias Beitza Velogoyma to fry an egg and eat it. Okay? And that is the amount of time for Kedei Sheir Tumah. If a Soita is Nichnas Lesesa with a man that she is suspected with, she becomes Asra Zasota until her Hashkar, until she goes to drink the waters, if she's Shahe Moy, Kedei Sheir Tumah, which Rabbi Akiva says is Tzlias Beitza Velogoyma. Now, the Shulchan Aruch paskins of these 9 opinions like Shita Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so now.
That's also the Shia Yichud after the Chuppah as well.
Seemingly,
yeah.
The truth is, the Gedolei HaPoskim, the Radbaz, compares what you need to be Asa in Yichud, Le'inyaneinu, with what you need for Yichud after the Chuppah. Yeah. So, Rabbi Yehi, let's say that's my working assumption without having checked inside right now. Yeah. Okay, excellent. So now, the Imre Eish, who was writing, I believe, in the early 19th century, came along and said that, and the exact nuances of what he said were debated afterwards, so I'll just tell you the headline. The headline that he said was that there's a problem of Yichud only when a person is in seclusion for the same amount of time as we see in the Segir of Sota. Means this Kedei Tzlias Beitza V'Lagoyma, that is the Shir which is Asa for Yichud. Which means probably that if a person was in Yichud for less than amount of time, they were not, when you first read this Imre Eish, they were not over on Esi Yichud Deraisa. So that's going to be an opening to discuss, before discussing the elevator opening, that's going to be an opening to discuss whether the elevator is a problem or not. Okay. So he came along and made a comparison between Soita and Yichud, the Kedei Sheir Tumah, which makes sense. According to the Rambam, the Esi Yichud is in the situation a person might come to be Megale Erva. That's seemingly the same concern that we have with the seclusion of the Soita lady. So that's an obvious association to make, which he made clearly and in writing. What practically is that shear? It's actually one of the guys like Kolel did an experiment. Yeah, he heated up oil, took an egg, fried it, and ate it, and saw how long it took. So you might be a bit shocked at the different opinions I'll tell you. On the one hand, the Sefer Dvar Halacha, we're going to come back to discuss him again today. The Sefer Dvar Halacha, who was the brother-in-law of Shem Zalman Orbach, understands that the shear yichud is 35 seconds. Okay? That is the most machmir opinion. The Midrash Yitzchak's got a whole long piece where he goes through many, many different cheshbonos, and he comes out conservatively, yeah, meaning his most machmir estimation is that the Shir Yichud is 5 minutes. Okay, so that's quite a range between 35 seconds and his conservative calculation of 5 minutes.
You know, Friday, 35 seconds
ahead. So it depends a little bit on the circumstances about how hot the oil is beforehand and how fast you are eating. You don't remember Leila Singh? So Rabbi Yashiv understood that he writes his Kedushin on Kedushin, the Aros and Kedushin, that the Shir Yichud is somewhere between a minute and a half to 2 minutes. Between a minute and a half and 2 minutes. Now, when he doesn't need my corroboration, Rivlasha, that's like the last thing he needs. But when we did our experiment in the Kola, it came out around that time as well. So that's, I think that's how the post can take on is the working time for the Shir Yichud, around a minute and a half to 2 minutes. Okay, so let's just work with that. That's the middle range of the different shirim that we've given. Okay, so we're holding right now, we're trying to work out whether there's a problem to go into the elevator. On the one hand, it seems to have the basic ingredients of an Issa Yichud, the rice, and there's one man and one lady. On the other hand, the Imre Eish says that there's a shear for Yichud. That's really his chiddush. There's such a thing as a time shear for Yichud. And he borrowed that shear from the shear which we find in the Mishnah and the Gemara with regards to Soita.
Except for the Shabbos. Except for the Shabbos lift, you're hardly ever in the elevator.
Okay, so we're going to discuss those calculations very soon. Okay, so now. I have to put in over here a very important qualification, which goes as far as the Maharal Diskin said in his when he brought the Imre Eish, is that even though it's true, according to the Imre Eish, that there is such a thing as a shear for Yichud, if a person goes into a situation where, if all things left as they are, would allow him and the lady, or the lady and the man, to to remain in that shayichud as sleeping dogs are lying for more than the shayichud, then they're over in yichud straight away. I'll illustrate that point. It sounds right now vague. It means, let's say a man and a woman are in a certain working meeting, and these colleagues, he has to tell her something extremely confidential. He doesn't want anyone else to hear. So he asks her to come into a room, and he comes into the room which doesn't have any, there's no windows and there's no glass in the door to make our life easier here. And he locks the door because he really doesn't want anyone to come in to hear this confidential secret. But he has no intention whatsoever of staying there for more than the 15 seconds that it takes her, which even according to the Sefer Dvar Halacha is not a shayichud. He has no intention whatsoever of staying in that room for more than 15 seconds. So there's a mild risk, and that's true, but as sleep, if the situation as it is when they walk in, the circumstances don't lend to any interruption or any intrusion. So even if they end up staying there, they intend to stay there for less than a shayichud. And they end up staying for less than a shayichud, they're over on and it's a yichud deraisa straight away. That's quite, and if you think that sounds like a wild...
Why? Huh?
Why? So the shir yichud, we'll come to make a distinction in 1 second. Rishon HaZalman thoroughly agreed that Rishon HaZalman brings this down, Rishon HaZalman Orbach brings this down, and he says that it's nothing to do with the, he says that over on a deraisa b'chol regel, and that's not to do with the isra of chet tishir. From the minute they walk in, they're over. Which means, the Maharal just understood that you could only use the Imre Eish. That means that when you walk into a situation where the circumstances of, so to speak, their own volition will not lend themselves or will not allow the man and the woman to be there for more than the Shir Yichud. But to walk into a situation where it requires their innovation and initiative to be there for less than the Shir Yichud, that, says the Maharal Diskin, is not mutter. And there's a big question about whether that's what the Imre Eish meant in the first place, or the Maharal Diskin was being moisif something, a chumrah above and beyond. Okay, that's just a very important qualification for me to say here in this public forum. Okay, good.
So, to take my example, the Maharal Diskin situation where Chos and the Kala went into a room for Yichud, locked the door, and came out straight away. And you'll say that they could have been left there for longer. In that situation, they would have been over, or they would have had the opportunity. Therefore, they're already over Miyad, in which case the Yichud's happened.
Okay, that's a cup, yeah? Yeah, you say like a nice cup. That's like the footnotes in the Pisgah Tshuvos. That type of cup, yeah? Those are things you like, right? Yeah, the question is whether you could be... So here we're saying the Imre Eish never said that, so you can't necessarily be mocked. So we're on a disc in the cooler. Yeah, exactly. Good. Very nice. Okay, excellent. Now, let's go to our elevator case. I see that the people were fast-forwarding to the materials of the elevator. So let's consider two different types of elevator. So increasingly today, you have elevators which are non-stop. I'll just give you an example. In the area in Yerushalayim, in the main municipal building, and I think this is common, you set your destination before you get into the lift. Yeah? So that really means there's no possibility of the lift being interrupted in the middle of its journey. That's very important. We'll come to the contrast in just a second. That means that's an uninterruptible journey. If it's an uninterruptible journey, then it's very important to make sure that it's within the parameters of the Shir Yichud. Yeah? Because there's no one's going to barge in. That means the situation as is, does it lend itself to being over on the Shir Yichud or not? So I did a little bit of research. So even the 80-story elevator in the Empire State Building, that distance is a 250-meter climb, but its speed is 360 meters per second. Sorry, per minute. So if you've got 360 meters per minute and it's 250-meter climb, then even there it's going to be significantly less than a minute. It's very hard to find a non-stop elevator which is going to, the duration of that journey is going to be more than Rabbi Yashiv's Shir Yichud of a minute and a half. Yeah, it's extremely uncommon. I don't know if you'd be able to find such a thing. So that's all true when you've got a non-stop elevator. Now what about if you've got an old school apartment?
When you want to go, if somebody presses a different floor, then it stops.
No, that's what he said.
Okay, so if it stops,
it's a different floor.
Once you press the button, it goes direct.
Yeah, but if somebody else presses
it, it won't stop. No, it won't stop. No, you're going to talk now.
This is a non-stop. He's a non-stop lift.
Okay, good. Come to that case now.
Come back to a normal lift.
Okay, so now we're going to speak about an old school normal lift,
yeah,
which you still find in certain parts of the globe. So, as you described, if you get into the lift, and those lifts, I will venture to say that the more modern the lift, which means it's more likely to be uninterrupted, the faster it travels, yeah? Probably the technology's improved. But the old school lift travels slowly on the one hand. And maybe, even though, again, you really have to go and experiment to see, let's say you've got a 10-storey apartment building, would the lift, if it didn't stop in that journey, exceed the sheer yichud of a minute and a half? Probably unlikely. That's really something which is totally in seer's face, which you have to go to experiment with yourself. However, there is a massive advantage in the case of these lifts, which is the ability for people outside to stop them on the way gives you another heter in yichud, which again you'll be familiar with this. The Gemara in Kiddushin Pei Aleph says, Amar Rav Yehuda says, Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim, when you've got an opening, accessibility, I already committed a little bit to one of the sides of the understanding over here, but whatever, accessibility for other people to walk into the situation, that is Matir the Yichud. Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim, Ein Choshishin Mishum Yichud. So now, that means, the Poskim understood, that when an elevator can be stopped in between and people could walk in, that means even if you could find an elevator where the journey would be, were it to be uninterrupted, albeit it's interruptible, if it was just left to go, it would go for more than a minute and a half, but people could stop it on the way and walk in, and importantly, it's the type of building and the time of day and the type of movement where people are around stopping the lift, that would give you a heter in yichud. I mean, even if it's going to take more than a minute and a half, the fact that it's interruptible gives you the heter of Pesach HaPasuach L'Rishus HaRabim. Now, you might ask a little cheeky little question, yeah, but what about in between floors? In the standard case of Pesach HaPasuach L'Rishus HaRabim, if two people, are a man and a woman, are in a room, but the room is either visible or accessible without getting into it too much, they are constantly, there's a constant ability for someone from the outside to walk in. You've got a head, that ability is constant. Here, the lift, that ability is only when you're on the floor, not when you're between floors. Yeah. So if you want to come up with that question and say, okay, but between floors, it's anyway less than the sheer yichud. So you can combine those heterim. Okay, so that's the basic, so based on this, whether it's a, if you can find an elevator which is interruptible, but it goes very slowly, and it's bang in the middle of the night, when you don't expect anyone to stop it between floors, if you could, I don't know if it's tick all those boxes or cross all those boxes, then based on this, you might be in trouble. Okay? But that's already quite, that's going to be quite a limited situation. Now,
the best thing is you use the escalator.
The assumption is that that's a very important question. The assumption, the old school lift which I've described is an old school lift which will open automatically when stopped.
Yeah.
There were very, very old school lifts where even after the lift stopped, the people on the inside would have to open the lift, and that makes things much, much worse. Yeah. Okay.
What about glass?
A glass lift is already, we'll speak about glass in just 1 second, but a glass, the note of Yehuda writes explicitly that the heter of Pesach HaPasuach L'Rishus HaRabim, that in the same way that walking through a door works, being seen through a window also works. So basically, with our limited time, the visibility through glass also offers the heter of Pesach HaPasuach L'Rishus HaRabim, without having to come onto all of this business of Sheh Yichud or not Sheh Yichud.
Can you discount the possibility it might break down between floors?
Okay, so we're going to discuss a possibility which is extremely similar to that in just a second. Which goes, well, in fact, not just a second. Now, why are we not worried that this man and lady are going to come up with a tactic of stopping the lift? Yeah? Let's assume that it's, again, not one of the more, I think perhaps one of the more modern-fangled lifts, it's more difficult to stop. I don't know, but let's say you're in a lift where it's possible to actually stop it. Why are we not concerned now they enter into this situation that they are going to come up with such a thing?
The alarm is going to go off and somebody come in to repair something.
Okay, but that might take time, and that amount of time take will be more than a sheer yichud. So over here, this is a very important thing. The Shem Zalman writes about this very point. He says that we don't have to be, and so does Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shem Zalman, both say, we do not have to be what they call in Yichud terms, Choshesh L'Tachbulos. We don't need to be concerned that people can come up with strategies and tactics in a situation where the yichud is mutter to then bring themselves into a seclusion which will be asur. And the example which Rav Shlomo Zalman gives is the classic case of Pesach Masoach. Classic case of Pesach Masoach, according, well, time is really, really limited. Let's say, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, the doors are of a particular room are open, and the man and the woman who are isolating, but not really isolating, yeah, are visible from outside. That, according to the Gemara, is mutter. No one disagrees with that. Why are we not concerned in that situation that he'll just, the man will come up to the door and just give a little kick, and the door shuts, and away goes your heter? So you see, the Gemara wasn't concerned for that. So very clear from this mainstream, undisputed heter of Pesach Pesach Shusarabim that we are not choishesh v'tachbulos. And so too in the lift, we're not choishesh v'tachbulos. Rav Shlomo Zalman brings a raya from Pesach Pesach, and in the case of a lift, we don't have to take on this concern that they're going to come up with some kind of underhand tactic. That was what Rav Shlomo Zalman said. Now Rav Moshe Feinstein adds in other reasons to be lenient over here, which are that he's got a basic question about why was it that Imre Esh borrowed the halacha in Sota and used it for this halacha in Yichud. Halacha in Sota is dealing with the whole point of Sota is that the man and the woman who are going into isolation have an existing familiarity. And therefore, the time which is Kadei Shehir Tumah for them is based on two people who have got an existing familiarity and a strong suspicion that their relationship is far, far, far too close. Ask Moshe Feinstein, when it comes to our Hashash for Itzah Yichud, we're normally not dealing with such a situation. We're dealing with two people who don't know each other, and we're dealing with the, without being too graphic, the preparation beforehand and the recovery time afterwards. Says Moshe Feinstein, all of that should really double the shear of Yichud, which is given in Sota when applied to Yichud. Yeah, Rav Moshe Feinstein adds, and again, this is not really recommended, sort of a strange, it would be a strange thing to do, that if a person finds himself going into a situation of an old school lift where he'll be there uninterrupted for more than a Shia Yichud, which we said is probably quite difficult to find, one tactic would be that if he sees a lady coming into the foyer to ask her to come to lift as well, because now in that situation of one man and two women, then that's going to anyway double the time, which he anyway thinks should have been doubled in the first place. That's like a tactic he's got in this day and age. If someone did such a thing, they'd probably be arrested straight away. So I don't recommend that. I'm just telling you what Moshe Feinstein said. Those are two different things. Okay. So now, okay. I'll tell you one point of caution, and I'll leave you with a question. One point of caution is as follows. So summarising what we've done, we basically said that even though, according to Rav Poskim, Issa Yichud, certainly when it's one man and one woman, is an Issa Deraisa, and it looked like going into the elevator has the circumstances of Issa Deraisa, the words of the Imre Esh, albeit qualified by the Maharal Diskin, that there's no Issa Yichud when there's no Shia Yichud with the Machlokes about what that Shia Yichud is. But the working definition is with a minute and a half and 2 minutes, assuming that circumstances will allow that this journey won't be that time, or that it could be interrupted realistically in that time, those are all reasons to say that Yichud in an elevator are mutter. However, and I emphasise this is not really like a halakhic cheshbon, it's probably important. For some people in some circumstances, be it the man or it's, you know, awkward for the woman, it's a small elevator, there might be like a certain feeling of inappropriateness or discomfort. You know, it depends where you are and who you're with to go into that elevator. So I don't want to encourage anyone, even if it's mutter mikadin, to disrespect that feeling of awkwardness and discomfort which might be there. That's not really like a halakhic cheshbon, just like a good thing to bear in mind. I'll leave you with a question, which is as follows. Rav Moshe Feinstein, elsewhere, he's got many wonderful tshuvas about Yichud. And in one of his tshuvas, he said something which caused a major stir in America. Now, I'll put before you start writing, the Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreed with this, and the Halacha Lemaisa really follows Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Moshe Feinstein held it was asur l'chatchila for a man and woman to be in a car together. Yeah, meaning a lady going into a taxi with one man, or a person giving a lady a lift for a simcha. Rav Moshe Feinstein held that was asur l'chatchila to do such a thing, and again, this caused like a major stir in America, and the poskim disagree with him, and are, again, within the realms of common sense, are matir l'chatchila for a man and woman to be in a car at the same time. Okay? But,
depends where.
Yeah, so if it's not an extremely deserted village road, I've got a normal standard road. Yeah, and assuming there are windows in the car and the cars are not tinted. When you've got windows in the car, you're back in the realm of Arnei Debi Yehuda, who said that windows provide a Pesach Pesach Shizarabim. I'd love to speak about cars, but I've only got
half. If it's a Goyish cab driver, then the nisser on the woman?
Basically, not. But again, I leave that to a certain degree of working out the circumstances of the common sense. Like, if it was, you know, someone that I knew very well who wanted to take a taxi, at least in the original hour, I'd probably encourage her to call a Jewish taxi company. Okay, but this, again, this is... These are not necessarily large cars. Let me just finish with this question. Let me finish with this question, and you'll tell me afterwards. My question is as follows. Ramosha Feinstein says, what's the reason why, when it comes to a car, he discourages? He says, L'chatchila, you shouldn't do it. He brings certain exceptions. He says, if you have a neighbour who's going to be stuck going to a simcha on the other side of town, then you can do that. He says, if you're driving in America past a summer camp, there are a bunch of non-Jewish girls who are by the road, and they see you as a frum yid, not stopping to give them a lift. And that's going to cause increasing enmity between the Jews and the Goyim. That's a good situation. You could be somech on the Ikadin and take the Ramosha Bunch says, you shouldn't do this l'chatchila, why not? He says, I really don't have time to justify this, but Bekitza, he says, because we're chashin of the tachbulos. We are worried that when a man and a woman in a car, he's going to take the car and go off from the main road where they are visible through the windows, whether the car's moving or the car stops, and go after some old deserted car park where no one's entered there for the last Shemitah cycle. Yeah? That's from which advantage is concerned. Hashin the bullets, and therefore the man and woman should not get in the car at the same time. So my question, which I leave you with, and have to faithfully leave you because I've unfaithfully gone over time already, is why is it when it comes to the car, Ramosha Feinstein says, don't do that l'chatchila, because we're chashin l'tach bulos. And when it comes to the elevator, Ramosha Feinstein himself wrote, there's no problem, we're not concerned, as we discussed beforehand, they're going to press some button and come up with a tach bula to stop the lift. Maishna. Have a wonderful day, gentlemen.
Sure, nice. Who's the sticker? Lambert has a lot of money.